is Tuesdays with Brendan.
I'm glad we've gotten this back again. You know, we missed a couple of Tuesdays with Brendan and Riley.
On the Riley. Well, you know, it is St. Patrick's Day week. So
did I say O'Reilly?
Yeah, so we should call him Brendan O'Reilly.
Yeah,
just
this
because
week.
It just makes it
Brendan
sort of make
Riley,
more sense.
I meant to say.
Brendan Riley is the official alderman of the Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis, because he happens to be the alderman of this actual building. That's why we have to be very careful when we have him in.
We do.
Because every once in a while, he shows up and there's inspectors with him and stuff. I don't know how
citations
that...
Citations come, yeah, follow afterwards.
Next thing you know. But this is a fairly interesting... Now, you won a unanimous vote in your election. You were unopposed, right, in the primary, such that it's called now. And so you continue on to four more years of being an alderman, and congratulations on that, sir.
Congrats.
But I guess the real question is where do we go from here in this? You have not made an endorsement, right?
No, I have not.
Okay,
no.
for the mayor. And what is your thought on how this whole thing broke down?
For the entire first round, Tony Preckwinkle was considered to be the front runner. That caused several candidates to pile on and have to ostensibly tear her down and hit her with negatives. And it really turned into a big food fight between Susana Mendoza and Bill Daley and Tony Preckwinkle. But during all the food fighting, Lori Lightfoot was fortunate not to get in the middle of all that mess. And I think she became an alternative to the perceived machine candidate.
Mm-hmm. That commercial was very effective.
It was a very effective commercial. And we saw voters undecided right up until the last weekend of that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that Lori became a default vote for those folks who either couldn't make up their minds among the front runners or wanted something completely different from those household names we're used to reading about in the newspaper every day.
What do you make of the choices we have now and the polls that show Lori with an incredible lead on Tony Preckwinkle, even though she has more money in the race so far and she's got this strong union support behind her?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting choice. I think both candidates embrace progressive values in different ways. But let's be honest, Tony Preckwinkle has been a part of the establishment. She started out as a progressive reformer who fought the Daley administration tooth and nail. But now she's become the chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party. And with that comes those accusations of being a, quote, machine politician, end quote. And so that's how she's been defined so far in the race by all of her opponents. And then on the other hand, you've got Lori Lightfoot with some private sector experience. She does not have the experience of governing or running large institutions. But she has, I think, put out a message of change and wanting to get a fresh set of eyes on old problems. So each of these candidates, I think, presents a different set of credentials. They're both very impressive candidates in their own right.
Yeah, they're competence is not an issue here.
No, absolutely not. We're fortunate. I think we've got two excellent choices, and we're going to see history made one way or another. We're going to have an African-American woman running the city of Chicago, which I think is great. But I think you're going to see those contrasts and differences drawn more sharply in the next week or so.
Really? You think so? You think as this thing sort of heads toward terminal velocity that we're going to – that some people might be taking shots? I'm actually kind of surprised that it took – more than 4 days before the negative started, you know. It was like, but they weren't really prepared for each other, I don't think, were they?
No, I don't think the Preckwinkle campaign anticipated a Lightfoot
Daley
runoff,
right?
I think they're expecting Bill Daley, and it was close. And I think, you know, Lightfoot surprised everyone in the city of Chicago and immediately had to get to the task of gearing up and getting additional resources and staff, getting satellite offices open where she didn't have those before.
Right.
So she's having to play a bit of catch up on infrastructure and certainly with a fundraising disadvantage. But again, she's benefited, I think, from a lot of goodwill and this general air of we want change in the city of Chicago. And the poll numbers show that. If you ask the average voter in the city of Chicago, is the city heading in the right or wrong direction? A large majority of voters are going to tell you they think it's heading in the wrong direction. That bodes well for a change candidate.
I do wonder when it comes to police.
Mm.
It's the one thing that we were talking to John Cass yesterday about this. And the Tribune editorial board was meeting with both of the candidates today. And I think one of the questions is, The Chicago Police Department is arguably the most critical function for the city of Chicago here. Mm-hmm. Water would be the first most ostensible one, right? Because we can't live without it. But in terms of how this city really operates and moves and keeping it going in a direction that is sustainable, the Chicago Police Department has to be well-managed and it has to be well-funded and all of those things and well-trained. Mm-hmm. And with these two politicians now, they both have run. They ran campaigns essentially saying, I was responsible. Tony Preckwinkle going, I was responsible for the Laquan McDonald investigation, and of course Lori Lightfoot had her seat at the table of the oversight committees.
Right.
So, what do you think the police department wants to hear from these?
Yeah.
Both
candidates have been critical of the department in different ways over time. I think that the rank and file officers want to know that their next mayor will have their back. That does not mean excusing bad behavior.
Because there's about 50,000, a little bit more than 50,000 votes in Chicago.
For sure.
Between police, retired police, and family.
Sure. And they tend to vote.
That's right. I think they want to make sure that they're properly resourced. I think that the Police Training Academy, while it's hyper-controversial right now, is an important step in the right direction. We want to make sure that our police and firefighters are well-trained.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's been a feeling within the department, among the rank and file, that they've all been painted with the same broad brush. And when you have a bad cop or bad cops making headlines, they feel like they're being painted by the same brush.
Right.
And so I think it's important that the next mayor at least install leadership they have faith in and be true to that leadership and allow the police, the professionals, to run that department. It can't be a political police department. Every department is in a big city.
Right.
But they got to get a lot of the politics out of this one because politicians are not well-equipped to run police departments. That's why we have cops.
Well said.
Good point. Excellent point.
Do you think, can I drag you into the commuter tax issue?
Sure.
Total taxation issue. So the city, right, everybody's talking about how the city's broke. They're going to need to find new revenue streams. And some of the ideas here, one of them that Bill Daley ran on, which sort of surprised me that
he
did this as a business guy, right? That's where he came from. He was even though it was a Daley, it wasn't a politician, right? Except in Washington.
Yeah.
A politician, he was a bureaucrat. The idea of taxing people who are coming into the city and working in the city, that on top of all the other taxes that they're talking about here and the property taxes and now with the state new tax proposal that the governor has let, I mean, why would anybody stay in the state of Illinois?
I think the commuter tax is a terrible, terrible idea. And remember, you impose a commuter tax that cuts both ways. One, it sends a strong message to the headquarters that we're trying to lure here. Maybe not, because we're going to be taxing your employees more to go to work. But what's to stop Park Ridge, Oak Park, Evanston, and all the other towns from doing the exact same thing? It's ridiculous. And so while certainly we're in need of finding some new revenue streams, given our huge pension liabilities that are going to get a lot bigger here in the next couple of years, the obligations at least, that's not the way to go. Likewise, a city income tax, terrible public policy.
Where does it end? Even they go, hey, it's 1%. What difference is that going to make to anybody? And the next thing you know, it's 2, it's 3, it's 4, it's 5. Look at what happened in New York,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And look, let's take a local example here. The parking garage tax. When it was first implemented, it's just a small little fraction of your parking bill. Now it's more than half.
Look at parking now in the city.
It's insanity. So no, you want to drive the city further into the ground, impose a commuter tax, and lump on top of that an income tax.
What about the LaSalle Street tax? Is that in the same category in your mind?
Again, it sounds great on paper. It's a wonderful way to pander to voters.
Let's explain what that is.
But the LaSalle Street tax, which it depends on which proposal you're looking at, One would have it one half of a cent tax on every single transaction that occurs at the Board of Trade, and there are many millions upon millions of those a day.
Right. And the Board of Trade has already threatened to get up and leave and put move their servers, their server farm to Florida to avoid all taxation.
That's exactly right. And so I've had to remind my colleagues, sounds wonderful on paper if you're looking for, quote, free money, end quote.
Right.
But the bottom line is you put those servers in the back of a truck, you can do that business from anywhere in the country. We're very, very fortunate to have them here today.
Yeah. It makes Chicago, there are moments in the week where Chicago is the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
Now, if you want that to go away, this is what makes Chicago relevant in a way and is always in the Board of Trade. I don't think people really kind of get how critically important that institution is to Chicago, that it draws. That's why major international banks are here.
That's right.
That is why there are the hedge funds. You know, one of the most successful hedge fund in the United States is based here.
That's right.
Right. In part because of the internet infrastructure that is here because of the Board of Trade and other things. And there, and if that goes away, that goes away.
That's
this, we become, it's, it would be in a lot of ways like Detroit losing GM in the way that they, you know, the way that GM sort of, you know, fell apart on them.
Yep.
And that we cannot afford.
No, it's a major, major platform in our local economy, and you got to keep those good things here. And this idea that, you know, companies can just print more money in the basement is ridiculous. This is a hyper-competitive national economy, city fighting city for jobs and headquarters. We cannot give people more excuses to avoid the city of Chicago.
So it leads you to the real challenge for the next mayor, because you do have these massive unfunded pension liabilities due one a year after they take office, another a couple years later, $300 million each. You got to find some new revenue
that. You do. And look, there are some revenue streams that are being considered right now that could be very helpful. There's talk about legalizing gaming in some form in the city of Chicago.
It doesn't pay that much, though, is it?
It doesn't pay a lot. Legalization of marijuana, it depends on what iteration comes out of that process. Those are not the silver bullets.
It doesn't get you where you need to go.
It doesn't. And I think one of the key tasks for the next mayor, honestly, is to be able to be a force in Springfield. That's going to be critically important. It's important.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. People south of I-80 love when they hear that. Yeah. It's like, what are you telling me?
Yeah.
That I'm going to be paying my taxes.
Well, no. And we're not looking to take tax money away from downstaters. But we do need to get back to the equitable formula of getting our distributive share of the state income
tax
sent back to
us. There's your answer.
That's it. Well, the state has been withholding many, many hundreds of millions of dollars from the city of Chicago that by law we're supposed to get as our share of the taxes. And so that stopped under Bergoyevich, and it was never restored. And that is really hurting us when it comes to our bottom line.
All right. Well, Alderman, it's really been something.
Yeah. Really you bring great news, don't you?
Interesting couple of weeks, has
cheery.
It not? And it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. And you often wonder in these situations, you know, why does anybody want this job, right? But they got to take it. And it will be, it's going to be a tight, as you're alluding to, the next couple of weeks. Ugh. All kinds of stuff's going to, there's going to be blood on the walls here. So,
that's for sure.
Yeah. And we here in the media hate when that happens. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
thanks,
it. Alderman Brendan Riley or O'Reilly here for this week.
Thanks, O'Reilly.
You're not wearing green, though.
No.
Just something I don't
what's
understand.
Wrong with you?
I will on Saturday and Sunday.
Good.
Promise.
Are you going to the Southside Irish Parade?
I'll be up here at the North Side version.
You don't go to the South Side one?
Not anymore.
Whoa.
It's a political
they
liability.
They cleaned it up.
It's a political liability.
All right. Well, more on that. I'll report later on that issue. But first, let us now check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Ro, the current age for buying tobacco in Illinois may be going up in smoke.